match. All right, gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of The Sportsman. We got Mikey V over there with the delicious-looking Modelo. Not for me.
No, Waterloo.
Oh, Waterloo. Cherry, salsa. Okay.
Yeah, I have no adult beverages for me during the week, usually.
Perfect.
He's and waiting until Saturday.
Yeah.
Friday, Joe. But yeah, Friday, Saturday, yes.
And then we got Joey D down there. Gentlemen, how are we doing? Joe, how are we?
Good, getting ready. We got a big trip coming up. We're going to Mikey V's neck of the woods.
Right.
Going to be New York bound. I guess Friday will be technically almost in Jersey for the tournament, but big few days, going to be a whirlwind. East Coast, I feel like we're doing a lot of East Coast trips lately. It's a fun time. Nice. To fly around across the country, and excited to see our guy Mikey V go to the Yankees game next Saturday.
Oh,
stoked for that.
It's gonna be a bloodbath, unbelievable.
Man. But
I'm telling you what, I don't know if that bus can hold us. I really don't.
It's gonna be interesting, man. It's gonna be a firefight. I don't know. I think that the key is to pace ourselves, because I think somebody's going down early in the count. There's no question about it.
Well, and now we're recording the pod early there.
That's right.
I will not start drinking until closer to 3 o'clock. I just won't. And especially, I don't know how I'm going to feel after Friday, because I'm sure Friday's going to be one where we tie one on there. And I gotta be ready to pace myself. But listen, I'm not a child. I'm not a veteran to the. I'm a veteran to the game, so I'll be fine.
Mikey V, first pitch is 7:05. No, I mean you're still starting.
I think it's 7:35.
You're still starting drinking 4.5 hours before the game.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lot of time.
That's true. But I'm trying to think, Joe. When we went to the other game, that first pitch was at 1 or was it at 4?
It was like a noon game, and it was
first pitch 1:05.
I think we got Luna's at like 10. Or seven,
yeah.
Like 9:30, 10.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, similar, because we started as soon as we got to Luna, we started. So like that's
as
what
soon
I'm
as
saying,
we
I'm
went to Luna's. And now, by the way, what we did last time, I'd like to revisit that. We had somebody, I think Nikki Juice, made little cards for everybody to fill out, like almost like little wagers of like who would score first. Guy
yeah,
who would hit the first
that.
Hit.
Yeah,
that was quite fun. I enjoy it. I don't think anybody.
Yeah, it's like $20 a guy, and whoever has the most right wins the pot or whatever. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's going to be gambling on. If you want to watch two cockroaches run across the floor, but not at Luna, of course, there would never be a cockroach there. But if you want to watch two cockroaches run across the floor on the street,
Dickie Gas will be ready.
Yeah, Dickie Gas will be ready to take that.
One of my favorite stories of all time, it happened the last time you guys were at the Audi Club, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong. In typical Bob fashion, what seemed at first as bad luck, he had to leave the game early. He had to go meet some people or something.
His cousin.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, and the cousin.
That's right. That. And then what ended up happening was you boys got roped into a trip to Long Island to go gamble.
It was out in the middle of the fucking boonies. We went
right. No, it was not. We went to the no. Bob had to go out in the city gallivanting with the Illuminati.
Sure.
And me and Joe ended up with on the bus back home, but of course there was a pit stop made at the track. We had to stop at the track. That's the Meadowlands racetrack. I mean, that's not the boonies. That's a well-known racetrack, the Meadowlands.
It seemed like it was forever that we
Oh, it definitely did. Well, yeah. I mean, at that point in the night, you're just so fricasseed. And then, you know, we made a couple other stops along the way. I'm not going to get into detail on those, but you know, it was a very long night, to say the least. And I'm expecting this one to be just as long. I mean, we have the bus for 8 hours, so in that 8 hour window we could pretty much do whatever we want. And it should be interesting.
The trip from Bronx Stadium to Meadowlands is not a short one. That is not typically
from Yankee Stadium to Meadowlands.
Yeah, yes,
it's not bad. It really, if you don't hit traffic ticket, you could be there in 20 minutes, and that's not an exaggeration.
If
you could be
don't
there in
20
hit
minutes. Traffic.
I went.
New York
I went.
City.
In, that's a,
well, the Bronx is not as bad as if you're driving into Manhattan. It's
okay.
Not because you can kind of go on the outskirts.
Oh, do you go around through the to Verrazano Bridge? You go around.
So you guys are staying in Manhattan on
yes.
Friday on
yeah.
Friday night.
That's right.
So you're going from Manhattan to Nutley back
Correct.
To well to the Bronx. The Bronx and Manhattan is not really.
I will say this. I once was at a Jets game and I had to go back in that traffic. That was horrible.
Back to the city?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
That was a nightmare.
Well, here's the thing is that by the time the bus gets us back to Nutley, it should be at the point where an Uber should be able to get you to the city if that's where you want to end your night at 11 o'clock. I mean, it's a Saturday night. I don't think at 11 o'clock you're going to hit a lot of traffic.
Yeah, we'd love to end our night near our hotel. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Back to the city.
Knowing us, we'll end up in Atlantic City.
I just love that story so much because at first it seems like bad luck for Bob. And of course, based on the way that Joey details the story, it turns out that Bob getting out a little early was the right decision, not ending up at the track. But anyway, let's start the show here. I want to remind people to like, comment, subscribe. This is The Sportsman. You know, fire in your questions to Mr. Anderson on both either the YouTube or on Instagram. But you got to like, comment, subscribe before he'll even read those. But gentlemen, there's really been one story today. That's the PGA Tour merging with LIV. Joey D, we'll start with you since you're all things golf, man. What's going on? What do you think about it?
I had to do a double take this morning when I read the headline come on my phone. To me, it just makes no sense why the PGA, after their stance and their take on LIV Golf and basically saying that players who had made the decision to go over to the LIV Tour were no longer going to be permitted or welcome back to be part of the PGA Tour, basically, until, like, you know, I mean, for the foreseeable future for them. And then the Monahan comments about basically all these things that he said, I thought it just makes him look very hypocritical. I'm shocked that they went back. And to me, it almost makes me feel like this was in the play, like from the get-go, it almost seems, because it seems so ludicrous why the PGA would condemn this tour so much only to go back and merge with them and assign an agreement. It's a tough look for the PGA. Listen, now, from the avid golfer's perspective, this is fantastic because now yes. we're able to now watch everybody play within one field. There's no, like, and I mean, listen, you're seeing these guys from LIV come over in the last two majors, and we've talked about this, and really place, I don't want to say dominate, but in some respects, dominate the top five, top 10, Brooks winning the PGA. I don't know if that had anything to do with this ultimately, but the fact that we're seeing that they still are valid, relevant golfers within the golf world. And now to see all of these guys umbrellaed under one tour, I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know if they're going to keep the team aspect that LIV has or how they're going to work it out. But from an avid golfer just who wants to watch the best product possible, it's a win for all of everybody who's watching. It's a win.
Mikey V.
I think that the PGA folded like a cheap accordion. All the bullshit that they said about how in principle they couldn't do deals with the Saudis. I mean, that just makes this look so much worse for Monahan. It was the moral principles of making deals with the Saudis, and that's all off the table. Now you look like a jackass. And also, this is a dirty business that's all about money. This is all about money. And if you don't think so, how in the world does the CEO of LIV, Greg Norman, the report came out that he was unaware of the merger until after it happened. How is the CEO, he's a puppet. Norman's a puppet. He's a paid puppet face, right? Because they needed somebody who has a stellar history in the game of golf. Yeah. They weren't going to get Jack. They weren't going to get Tiger. He's reputable. They bring in Norman. He's a puppet because he didn't even know about the merger. He's the CEO of the company. This was a backdoor, dirty deal that PGA knew they had to make. It is what's best for the viewer, Joe, like you said, because now you're going to get all the players back. But, I mean, these players from PGA, man, they must feel like such jackasses.
I feel so bad for them, man.
And there's no loyalty amongst thieves. There's no loyalty amongst thieves, and the PGA comes out looking like a thief here. And
imagine being Hideki Matsuyama and turning down $300 million out of principle, out of loyalty, out of all of these things, to find out that the wool was pulled behind your eyes.
Hey, Joe, Sayonara.
Dude, that's unbelievable. It, you know, and I think it's like, I don't know. Do you think that none of these golfers ticket, like Rory, for example, all the stance he's taken, he's become like the main face of the PGA Tour, talking against LIV and all this stuff. Do you think that they really had no idea that this was happening? Because if that's the case, it's a tragic.
The players?
Tragic.
I don't think the players did. I can't see how the players did. If they rejected these deals, I don't think they anticipated this to happen, number one. And number two, if the CEO of one of the companies doesn't have any idea until after the merger said and done, I'm not to believe that a player does. Now, again, I think the whole thing with Norman is absurd. I think the whole holding the moral high ground and saying that we won't do business out of principle with certain people. Now you got to eat all those words, all that bullshit that you tried to sell to everyone is now you got to eat all of that. They have to eat all of that, PGA. And again, good for the sport, I believe. Good for the sport of golf in terms of viewership, having all the best players. Listen, all these guys, we know all these LIV guys should be playing in all these PGA tournaments. They should be. They're some of the best golfers in the world. So, I mean, I from the fan, but from the business perspective, dirty. Dirty, but how it's all are they, money talks, bro.
There's
money
a lot talks. Of details that have not been enclosed. Like, how are the players on the PGA going to be compensated now when they're making hundreds of millions of dollars less
just to
participate? So are the LIV guys going to be double dipping now? They're going to be
paid.
That's unbelievable. Ticket, what do you think? I mean, I'm interested to know what you think about this, because to me, it's like the real loser out of this are the guys.
All the guys that stayed loyal. Yep.
I've read that the top PGA guns though could still stand to get some big money out of it though.
Do they
guaranteed money or like guaranteed salary money or?
From what I understand, maybe not as lucrative as what it was before the merger, but yes. Right. But yes.
That was the worst thing today was seeing all those guys, all the PGA guys. It was like a list of Colin Morikawa, Tiger, Rory, all these guys of guaranteed money that LIV offered them. And they chose to stay with the tour for whatever they want to say. Loyalty, they already made enough money, legacy, whatever it is. They stayed, turned down all that crazy money. Tiger turned down $800 million.
Oh, yeah, but here's the thing, though. Nobody's going to be feeling bad for a guy.
No, like of course not. But that's still, no. I mean.
But a guy like Morikawa or Matsuyama.
Yeah, $100 million for Colin Morikawa. He must be fucking kicking himself that now he's got to finish in the top 10 to make anything. He needs to finish in the top 10 in the next 17 tournaments in a row to come anywhere near that kind of guaranteed cash.
That ain't happening.
But I wonder if after the initial year passes, if they're going to reoffer, or if they're going to do something to offer compensation to these guys or give some kind of like, is it just going to be a one and done? Like the guaranteed money's going to just from LIV is going to be a one and done. And then that's it. It's not going to ever happen again. There's a lot of things that we don't know. There's a lot of things. And there's a lot of backing financially that, I mean, these guys could all get paid easily.
These Saudis have liquid. They're liquid. These people are liquid money. They have liquid money, liquid assets. Yeah. There's no net worth on these people. They're liquid. They print money.
So outrageous.
They just signed Lionel Messi to a $1.2 billion contract.
Did they finalize it?
For 2 years.
They finalized
2 years, I believe, as of last night. $600 million a year.
Oh, my God. I will say this. The people
who were saying... The guy's not even in his prime anymore.
The people who were saying, oh, the LIV Tour, they're squandering their money. They're blowing all their money. They'll be gone within a year. They clearly don't realize this is potentially the richest country on earth. Like, I mean, they have unlimited funding. So yes. It's like the LIV Tour was going to be around. And to your point, Mikey V, there was actually an interview with Greg Norman who alluded to the fact, this was ages ago, that he thought the end goal was basically like an amalgamation between the two tours into being one. And he said he didn't know when it was going to happen, but the LIV Tour was not going anywhere. And eventually that, you know, that recruitment into one tour was the end goal. So I don't know. I kind of agree with you saying that him saying he doesn't know, I would doubt he wouldn't know.
That's what they're saying.
I think there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people, a lot of details that have been blurred over.
This is a backdoor fucking deal between the richest people that are involved with it, the people that benefit the most off the ratings. Now, what's Liv's problem, right? The PGA's problem is that they are threatened by the fact that guys are going to jump ship because they're going to make a lot of guaranteed money, one, and two, that some of these great players aren't going to be playing in their tournaments. What's Liv's problem? Liv's only problem is we need ratings for our fucking tournaments, right?
Yeah.
Now, who do they go to knocking on the door? Now they're back with the PGA. This was a filthy backdoor deal between the big Illuminati again. And you know what? Money talks and bullshit walks.
Hey, people laugh about that whole theory about the Illuminati, but I will say this. There are a few wealthiest families or households in the world that dictate how things are run. And whether you believe it, Illuminati, cloaked figures, whatever you want to believe, money talks, man. And at the end of the day,
I'm not saying they're going to like midnight meetings and sacrificing baby goats and drinking their blood. I'm not saying all that. What I'm saying is that very, very powerful men from a very, very powerful country with unlimited assets met with another group of very, very powerful men from one of the biggest brands in the world, the PGA, where everyone used to have to come to play if you played golf, if you were good and worth what you were worth. They came together and they said, we're not getting ratings. We want all players to play in our events, and we're worried that more guys are going to jump ship. So fuck this. Let's just make all the money we can at once. And that's what happened. At the expense of everything, they don't give a shit about Colin. You think they give a fuck about Colin Morikawa?
No.
Come on. They don't give a shit about any of these guys.
When you say that, it makes me think, you ever watch the movie Eyes Wide Shut, where they go to that?
Tom Cruise?
Nicole Kidman. And then they go to that party with all these high-end people, government. That's what I think about. When you say shit like that, and people want to laugh about it, but at the end of the day,
you'd have to be.
I don't know how far off that is.
Yeah, no.
This whole deal went down a lot quicker, I think, than it ever would have. Because Brooks won, and the PGA stood its ground long as their argument made sense.
Back-to-back majors.
Yes, correct. That's right. And they
According to Ticket, though, he's not to mince meat.
There was 5 years. I'm not going to let you bring it back down here. I'm not going to do it. But there were 5 years where he was absolutely nowhere to be found and just kind of blew everything he did.
He's injured.
Yeah, he still played, Mikey B. Still played.
He did, but
Brooks was the final straw that broke the camel's back.
But the point is, the PGA kept their loyalty legacy argument until the bottom line started getting affected. The second it did, the second Brooks started bringing a bunch more people over to Live, PGA said, you know what, let's get this deal done. And that's what they did because it's about money, like Mikey V said.
It's supposed to be based on
steel. And you know, they merge, and now all the pending litigation, that's like a little sweetener to the pot. We're going to drop all the lawsuits and all this, that'll all, we'll wash it all away. Don't worry about it now. This is as dirty gets. And you know what? Sportsmen, listeners sitting at home, scratching your nuts on the couch watching this, there's not a goddamn thing you or me could do about it. You just got to sit there, whether you like it or not, and eat it, because that's the way things go.
Well, luckily, it's like eating a piece of cheesecake. It's going to taste pretty good at the end of the day, because we're going to get to watch some good golf. It's not terrible. I mean,
like eating a piece of cheesecake. I'd agree.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
unless you're lactose intolerant, then it may not be well.
You might feel guilty about it, but you'll enjoy it.
I'll agree with that.
I thought that was a pretty good analogy.
I'll agree with it.
One thing's for sure, if they do honor these Live salaries and these, you know, you got guys like Sebastian Munoz out there making $100 million while Rory McIlroy is still trying to top five, that could create some very interesting rivalries, you know, between all the players, and could bring some more excitement to people like us. But
By the way, I'll finish with saying one thing. There ain't a happier person in the world of golf right now, as it stands, than one other Phil Mickelson. This guy was dragged through the fucking mud, pardon my French, and made to look like a villain, this and that. And he comes out, places second in the Masters, wins a boatload of money, comes out, does fine in the PGA. And then on top of that, now he's laughing. He gets to go back to the PGA, and he's got more money than anybody. He got $200 million, and he still gets to play at a 10 PGA events and fucking laugh at all these guys in their face. This guy...
This year's Masters dinner, I don't think Phil's going to be quiet. I don't think he's going to remain silent. Masters dinner.
I mean, he might walk in like he owns the place.
Oh, he might take his nuts and set them right on the dinner table. Say, here's your appetizer, boys. Take a little munch.
God, man, it is.
Tell you what it sounds like, Joe. It sounds like he took a little trip to Miami and made a deal like our other friend with the devil.
What other burger? Roberts. James.
It always comes up, Phil.
I don't know about this.
It always comes up, Phil. All right, let's move on here to the NBA Finals. It's turning out to be a little more exciting than at least I thought it was going to be. I thought Denver was going to run over them, but game two. Heat fought back. They're in it. They're right there. It's 1-1. Boys, what do we think? Mikey V?
Fuck the Miami Heat, first of all, for that game one performance, because I had the read on this. I said in the last Sportsman, I said I thought that the games would be closer than people thought. I did say that Denver would win the series.
They came off of game seven, Mikey V.
I don't care what they came off of. I said I thought that series would go five games. I still will stick to that. I say Denver.
I don't know.
I think Denver in that fourth quarter got disinterested in the beginning of the fourth quarter. They looked lazy. They were just going through the motions. And then when they realized, oh shit, we better start playing, they turned on. It was too late. Miami started hitting threes, and it was too late. Then in the second game, when I'm like, all right, I parlay the Yankees run line over with the Denver Nuggets fucking money line. I take Denver money line. Don't even have to cover the spread, and they fucking lose to the Heat. You know what? These two teams are the two worst teams in the NBA to bet, the Heat and the Nuggets. You couldn't get two worse teams to bet in an NBA Finals than the Heat and the Nuggets, because you don't know what you're going to get night in and night out. Denver's notorious for not covering the spread on inflated spreads, number one. But they did it, of course, in game one when I bet against them. Of course they did. Second game, money line, they fucking lose outright. So I still say ticket. I still say Denver in five. I think they lost their one game. I think they got a little disinterested. People are going to tell me Miami's definitely going to win at least one of the games in Miami. I don't know about that. I still think this Nikola Jokic,
he's unbelievable.
This guy is incredible. Fucking insane, man. Everything he puts to the rim falls in. Everything. Everything that touches the rim goes in. It's insane.
He runs the
full length of the court. He runs the full length of the court, handles the ball, and fucking... He's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
I think it'll be too much. I think Denver didn't get enough from their shooters in game two. And I think Miami got a lot from their guys in game two. I think it's going to turn.
Robinson's going to do that again, if you think they're going to shoot the way that they did, Jimmy Butler didn't even show up, man. He wasn't that good. He shot like 25%. Yeah, he was terrible.
He was 7 of 19, Jimmy Butler. Yes. I will say this. The role players on Miami showed up. You look at Max Strus, okay? He was like 0 of 9 in the first game. Guy couldn't see a ball go through a basket from three-point range. He had like 12 points in the first quarter, shot like almost 50%. I think he put out like 14, 15 points. Gabe Vincent, first game, I think he had what, 11, 12 points? Really wasn't a factor. Comes out, puts out 23 points. Adebayo has looked good for both games. He's been the one guy who's been consistent.
Awesome. Yeah.
Butler, the thing is with Butler, here's the thing, okay? He is the kind of guy that even if he doesn't contribute on the offensive side of the ball, which I agree, Ticket, he's going to need to for them to win. But he does so much defensively. He helps out. Yeah. He gets steals. He blocks. The guy he's all over the court. And I think the bottom line is I still think – the Heat are the best coach team in the NBA Finals by a long shot.
That's fine, but I just don't think that means anything, though, Joe.
Look at who they're playing with, man. They're playing with a bunch of fucking misfits.
I know that. I just think the coaching, it got them there, but I don't think the coaching is what'll put them over the top against Denver. I think they'll just need Jimmy Butler to be
this is going
to
go six games at least. this series. Wow. I think Miami's going to win at least. Miami is not, they're not listening to what people are saying. They're not folding. They're going to keep playing hard, and they're going to keep pushing the envelope. And Denver, for all intents and purposes, in the past have never really done anything from a playoff standpoint. So they're going to have to really show up, and they're going to have to play good. Now, Jokic is always going to do good. Jamal Murray, to me, is the X factor. The first game, Aaron Gordon was unbelievable. Jamal Murray, though, he needs to keep playing the way he did in the LA Lakers series, because he was white hot. And if he plays like that, then they have to respect him more. And Jokic and him together, I do think the Nuggets still win the series. But I'll tell you what, the Heat, they are a team that will not quit. And I respect the hell out of them. I think it's impressive what they're doing.
I got a lot of respect for him. If I'm leaning one way or the other, I'm much more on Mikey V's side. I think it's very likely that it's going to go five games. I just don't trust the Heat. Not against a team like the Nuggets. I don't trust that Robinson's going to do that again. I don't trust that Butler's eventually going to catch heat. Could he? Of course he could. He's an incredible player. But I just think he seems to fold in these big moments, especially the NBA Finals. Can't get it done. And these other guys, Gabe Vincent, that's a great game for them. That's a career game for them. They're going to remember that for the rest of their lives. But I don't think you're going to get it out of them for another two, three, four games. I think it's a lot more likely the Nuggets end up squashing these guys in five and win the next three.
Do we know if Tyler Hero is going to make an appearance in this
finals? I don't think he is. I don't think he is.
There was reports that said initially that if they went to the finals, that he was going to at some point be available for them. And I'll be honest, that would be a huge asset. Even if he was at, 60-70%, he's better than some of the guys they're pulling off the bench. I mean, I think he would be a huge asset.
Yeah, but a shooter that's limited isn't much of a player at all. It's not like getting a LeBron James that's at 60% or a small forward of sorts.
That's true.
Getting a guy like Tyler Hero, you need him to be 100% to be effective.
By the way, why isn't there a game tonight? The NBA is it's so soft.
Stupid. How do you go from Thursday night game one to Sunday is the next game? How the fuck does that happen? I understand there's an NHL, Stanley Cup final. I get it. By the way, Vegas is unbelievable.
They're incredible.
They're a machine.
You want to talk about guys, though, who are gritty, who are fucking putting their bodies through it.
The NHL guys, they're
back at it.
And you want to talk about a team that you could rely on to bet the Vegas Knights. You take overs with the Vegas Knights. You make money 79% of the time.
12 goals.
I understand. The over-under on that game was still 5.5, which made no sense.
Unbelievable.
The first period over 1.5.
I thought I saw that then, and I was like, I don't know. And they fucking hit it easily. Vegas.
Every time Vegas plays, the over hits. Every time. They're unbelievable.
Mikey V, I will say this. Your only subs, your hockey picks have been by far the most, which is shocking to me because I didn't see you as a hockey guy. When you have, you probably hit up between 60-70% of your hockey bets. For the playoffs, you've been on fire. Like you have been, you're taking overs, you're taking, they're hitting.
The NBA, I despise with the passion of a thousand suns. It's such a stupid, and it's stupid, and I would never bet it unless I had to. And sometimes I just feel like, because I do go a couple days where I don't put a pick up. And then, somebody DM'd me the other day, and they're like, you're only going to put picks out once every 3 days. I put out the barrage of picks in football season. But in the off season, of course, I'll put out UFC, MLB, playoffs, college basketball, we did very well. But NHL this year has been the thing. But I said to the guy, I said, if you want me to go across the board picks on MLB so you could lose your mortgage, because nobody wins that
baseball
way.
Is the worst. No, baseball is the worst sport.
I'd rather bet MLB than bet the NBA, Joe. That's how really? Much I think the NBA is such dog shit.
Now, that being said, this Saturday, Yankees, Reds, of course.
Only you're going to need to bring. You'll need to bring an encyclopedia to follow all the bets that are going to be flying in that game.
I'll say this for the low price of $2.99.
It is.
That guy can go fuck himself because if you're paying.
No, that's basically what I said.
Politely. If you're paying, you're paying $2.99.
I was like, you could leave.
You're paying $2.99.
exactly what I said.
If I'm paying $10.99, Mikey, I want a great pick out of you every single night. $2.99, I want when you feel like a good pick's there, I want you to throw it up for us. And that's all we should be asking for. It's $2.99 a month, man.
I said, Joe, I can't get a cup of large coffee for $2.99.
There are guys like this. You ever heard of this Vegas Dave? He's charging like $100 a month.
Yeah, well played.
$100 a month.
I see these guys charging thousands of dollars for the season. You get a full season of MLB picks for like $3,000, $4,000.
You got to be hitting at an 80 percentile.
Nobody is hitting at an 80% clip. Nobody. They would be a billionaire if you were hitting at an 80%
clip.
Vegas
Dave
will
have you believe he is, and he's the biggest.
Ask yourself a serious question. If you believe Vegas Dave, I don't even know, he's nobody in my eyes. If Vegas Dave is that good, why does he need to sell you picks? If he's that good, shouldn't he be sitting on mountains of cash like Ignatius? Why? Because he wants to get sainted?
He was basically like excommunicated out of Vegas. Like he was kicked out.
He can't gamble. He's saying he can't place a bet.
I don't know too much about it, but based on what I know, and people, if you know, comment below, because I'm not sure. But from the story that I understood, he won so much money that he won that he was ousted from Vegas casino.
That's the story. That's the story, Michael. That's the story.
See, Al Capone's in the black book.
I know. I'm just. So I don't buy it.
Vegas Dave, Nicky Santoro, Al Capone in the black book, that they've won too much money. They're bounced out of Las Vegas. So he can't go out on the street to a bookie. He can't download Caesar's Sportsbook like every other jerk off in the world and put in a bet. Sell that shit to somebody else. This is incredible what people do. People are so deceptive, man.
The Las Vegas Review does say that Vegas Dave got a 3-year sportsbook ban.
Why?
I'm not going to read the whole article, but it's saying he must stay out of Las Vegas sportsbook for 3 years to judge rules.
He ruled. You know what that means? If a judge was involved, he did something criminal. If a judge was involved, he did something criminal. Not because he won too much money, because he was either shaving points, he was either running a book, or he was doing something illegal. If a judge decreed it, there's a reason why. He did something illegal.
I mean, this is a
not because he won too much money.
I mean, there's a whole article here. I don't know. But
if that were the case and you won the Powerball, you should be banned from buying scratch-offs for the rest of your life.
Bottom line is, for a cup of coffee, you got Mike V.
I think I'm more entertaining and I'm better, to be honest. I'll go against Vegas. Football season, you put me toe-to-toe with Vegas Dave NFL Sunday, I'll come out on top.
Can I just say something, gentlemen, on a side note?
Go ahead.
I can't fucking wait till NFL comes back. We are now embarking on the toughest, most just awful part of the sports year. We were spoiled. We had March Madness. We had the Euro Cup earlier. We had all this shit. And now it is like a fucking wasteland. All we got is baseball. No offense to people. I'm not hating on baseball, but I experienced this last year. Baseball is not easy. You need to know your shit with baseball or it will wrap you
And you can still get fucked because that's why they play 162 of those fucking things. It's because every
You're
fucking game,
right,
you never know.
Ticket.
It's just no knowing that sport.
We are in desperate need of September to roll along.
Well, out here on the East Coast, it's kind of like we're fortunate because the dead time of sports season is the summer. So, you know, you got your pools and your beaches and the nice weather and you could golf and you could – baseball should be kept like – I will watch a lot of Yankee games. I have it on behind me. But, like, in the summertime, like, really – on the weekends and stuff, like if you're out at the pool, like I like putting the Yankee game over the radio and having it on as like the background while I'm in the pool.
That's nice.
Or doing
yes.
something like that. Like it's a nice background thing, but if you need action, baseball is there every day. If you're
Joey D needs action.
Yeah,
Joey
he does.
Play. Joey D yeah, needs a whale.
Yeah, he does.
I don't need Vegas, Dave.
No, you don't. You just need a cup of coffee and $2.99 you picks of the month. All right, boys, let's move on here. Let's move on. You know, I just don't give a shit about the Scottie Pippen thing and Michael Jordan. I
that was absurd. And by the way, I will say on this, he is becoming more and more obnoxious with every interview
he is.
That I see.
Yeah.
And he's gone from like a guy who I respected, like for keeping his mouth shut and just being a good team player, to now ousting Michael Jordan as a bad teammate. Like
It's real bad, Scotty. I bet he wasn't too bad when you were fucking winning a ring every other year
or making a boatload of money.
Is this guy kidding me? Is Scotty? He's got to be. He's got nothing to. Whatever. Banging his old lady or whatever.
No, it was Future.
It was Future, and ever since then he's gone off the rails.
Be a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, I think Scotty's crazy.
I bet it was.
Future's a big boy.
Scotty can't be taken seriously.
He can't.
He's lost all credibility. He cannot be taken seriously.
He should just ride off into the sunset. He's got all these championships and money.
Every other teammate that talked on that Jordan documentary, The Last Dance documentary.
Kukoc,
Nine Parts, Rodman, they had everybody. Phil Jack, everybody said, but now Scottie Pippen's going to say Jordan's a scumbag? Come on. Stop. We know he's a competitive asshole. There's no question about that, but that's the guy I want on my team. I want to play for that. I want to play with that guy.
You want to be with the winner.
I want to play with that guy. That's who I want to play with. You want to kind of like if I was on a golf foursome, I want to play with Koepka. You don't think I want to play with Koepka?
I do. He's just putting salt in tickets wounds.
Guy's a prick, man.
There's no doubt about it. Prick, dude. There's no doubt about it, but I want to play with him.
Yeah, but golf is a game. First of all, it's not a team sport. And second of all, there's a lot more downtime in golf. I got to spend way too much time with that guy. Fuck that guy.
Koepka's like the kid at the school
playground. Suppose you met Koepka and you really liked him. Suppose for whatever reason you guys just hit it off.
Yeah, I could see that happening for sure. I'm a regular
player. By the way, I was at golf today. I saw Tickets Guy. Do you know Tickets number one guy to golf with? Take a guess. He's in the acting world.
I mean, he said Scorsese last week, didn't he?
Well, I don't know what answer that was.
An actor. Okay.
Jason Bateman. You want to talk about a nice guy?
Oh, the guy from
Ozarks.
Mikey, from Come On.
I was thinking of the Couples Retreat movie. He was very funny in the couple.
That's a great movie. That's a hilarious movie. But
very Mikey, good
movie.
Who are you taking? You only got one pick. Anybody to golf with? Who are you taking? Could be any actor. It could be
any person on the planet.
Anybody. It could be a president. It could be anybody.
Say your father.
No, he's not.
My dad.
People respect that.
my dad don't golf. People want to go.
All right, let's move on here. Joey D's got to eat, so let's do one more, and then we'll get into a new segment, and then we'll do some viewer questions and get out of here. But real quick, Will Ferrell's going to play John Madden. Uh-huh. You boys give a shit. Is that the right pick? What do you think, Joe? Let's go with you first.
I don't know. I mean, Will Ferrell can be goofy and funny. I don't know at what length he's going to portray him. Like, I hope that they show him some respect for a couple reasons. First, I think Madden was the greatest commentator for football of all time. And secondly, I mean, and just in terms of his innovation and how he would draw up the plays and stuff, I had never, as a kid watching that, I thought it was so cool. And secondly, he's passed away. So I hope that they commemorate him in a way that's not just a spoof and is not just a joke, but they actually show some respect. If they could do that, then I think it'd be good. But you never know with Will Ferrell, because he can be borderline just off the rails in terms of his comedy. So I don't know what route they're going to take it. I hope they take the respectful route. I really do.
Yeah, I don't mean to steal a term from the Jet, but I happen to think Will Ferrell has lost his fastball a little
bit.
Yeah.
Whoa!
I mean, what's the last movie Will Ferrell was in that was really like, you were like, wow, that was so great. Will Ferrell's so great. I mean, Will Ferrell was like prime Will Ferrell in like old school and like Step Brothers.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I think Will Ferrell fell off. I really do. I really do.
The last good Will Ferrell movie.
That being said, I think it's a fair casting. It's fine.
Yeah, the last good Will Ferrell movie, in my opinion, was The Other Guys, and that was 2008, 2009.
The Other Guys.
It was him and Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, that was a good one.
That was good.
You know, he's playing the Mattel CEO in the new Barbie movie.
He'll take it. You talk about a guy who'd do anything for a dime, Will Ferrell.
Well,
Will Ferrell's he's also in the... Now, Ticket, he was in a movie that you liked. The Christmas sure. movie Spirited.
Did like that movie. I did like that. Was it a good movie? No. Did I like it and find it endearing? Hell yeah. But I'm sick of him. Like you said, he lost his fastball, and I can't deal with him anymore. I think he would have been a much better John Gruden. I would have been much more interested watching
John Gruden. They should have just got Caliendo to be Madden.
Yeah. One of the best impressions of all time.
Yeah, he should have just got Caliendo. I think that would have been appropriate.
There's another guy that can rival your Mel Kiper, by the way. Have you ever seen Frank Caliendo's?
He's a great Mel Kiper. Yeah. I've seen it. He's an inspiration to me, Mel Kiper, 100%.
Todd.
So great. So
fantastic. All right, boys, let's move on to a little new segment we have going on here. We got two options. I think we'll try one this week and one next week. This week, let's start. You want to do both, Mikey V?
No, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start with, what are you watching, Joe, this week? What are you watching? Anything at all? Sports, Netflix, Hulu, HBO. What's going on? What are you and Nicole getting into over there?
You know, I'm watching a lot, and it's actually sports related. It's not based on actual sports, but it's a spoof a little bit. The Ted Lasso show to me.
Yeah,
it's absolutely excellent. I went in, I was like, this looks so stupid. This is a dumb idea. This guy comes from a football team to manage a soccer team. He knows nothing about it. I'm already almost through the second season, and it's been, a couple weeks? The show is great. If you have not watched it, and it is about sports, so it does relate. Ted Lasso, great show. Neither of you have watched it clearly because neither of you know what to say.
No, I've seen it.
Have you seen it, Ticket?
I know the first two seasons. I know the guy who's the main character.
Sudeikis. Yeah.
Sudeikis, and I heard it's excellent. I have not watched it yet.
It's worth the watch. I'm telling you right now. And as somebody, you know, who appreciates soccer, Mikey V, you'll enjoy it. It's
yeah, by the way, Italy, not a popular topic whatsoever, but Italy, two games away from the U20 World Cup. To win the World Cup, they're in the semifinals. Not that anyone cares, but I do.
Maybe it'll make amends for the team that couldn't make the real World Cup.
Well, you know what? We still reigning Euro Cup champions, Joseph, and that counts for a lot. That counts for a lot because it's the second biggest tournament in the world.
The fact that we won the Euros and couldn't make the World Cup is just
we fucked up.
Astonishingly sad.
Yeah, well, we were missing key players. Chiesa didn't play, and Spinazzola didn't play, and you know these things that people don't care about. But the Italy U20 team. Thursday, 5 o'clock semifinal against South Korea. FS2. I watched, I'll recommend the movie. And then what I'm going to be watching, I promised Holly, we would start Succession. I haven't seen Succession. I've heard it's all time good. I have not seen it. Joe, have you watched that or no?
I watched like one or two episodes.
And you didn't like it?
And I kind of just was like, this is a lot.
You don't like it, Ticket? You've watched it, you don't like it?
I mean, how many seasons are you going to watch these guys fight who's going to take over their dad's company? I mean, how many seasons do you need?
I promised her we would watch it. Now there's a very good possibility. She's blunt and brutally honest. So
it's
possible we could start it and she may poo-poo it right off the bat.
Have heard it's excellent.
That's what I've heard from
multiple people. So... And including Nicole was the person who told me to start watching it. So I am going to give it a second chance. I'm watching Dave right now and Ted Lasso.
It's great.
It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Once I'm done with those two shows, I'm going to go back. So I think you should give it a try, Mikey B.
When I watch this movie.
You know who I thought was is terrible in it? Ooh. Is Macaulay Culkin's brother plays one of the most obnoxious characters.
Kieran.
Kieran McCulkey. He's one of the main characters in it. And he plays one of the most obnoxious characters. I couldn't stand him. Two episodes in, I was like, I'm out on this guy.
They should have used Daniel Stern instead.
Mikey V, you watching a movie too? You about to throw a movie?
I watched a movie that
Little Mermaid.
I watched Between the Two Ferns. Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, you were raving about that.
Oh, yeah. So funny, man.
That's fantastic. So
funny. That's so a guy funny. I think he lost his fastball.
Yeah, He definitely did.
Oh, I don't think so.
He definitely might have. I don't know. I haven't seen him in any recent
Since The Hangover? Since the Hangover, he put up a
This was well after the Hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was well after. I understand that,
but I'm saying recently he's kind of he did some comedy stuff and he's kind of fallen off.
I haven't seen him. This is a movie, Joe. You should. I would recommend.
I'll watch it.
Going into the clouds before watching it and then watching it, and you'll really get the full effect.
A couple of Nimbus clouds.
Yes. Not the cumulus, but the Nimbus. not the Stratus.
I'm watching a little show on Netflix called, it's in its third season currently. It's like a sketch show. They're bite-sized little skits. It's called I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson.
You know what? All my buddies texted me this fucking show ticket.
Phenomenal.
And they sent one clip of him driving a hot dog car through a building. And I didn't think it was funny at all.
Oh, Mikey, that is one of
I didn't think that guy was funny at all, man.
Oh, it's very absurd for one. He's a very absurd comedian. He was on SNL for a long time. And there's this sort of like gif, or I don't know what you'd call it, this cutout meme that's been going around on a lot of these betting Instagram accounts. It's like when you see a crazy bet and you see him going, "Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that?" So I'm sure you've seen him around. He's very, very funny. Mikey V, I would implore you to give it another shot.
I know.
Do another one.
I will say this.
I already got my balls broken.
I will say this. As cold as some of Ticket's takes were last week with sports, he is a guy I will always ride into the front gates of war. When it comes to entertainment, movies and television, Ticket's your guy.
Well, I mean, Ticket looks like fucking Alfred Hitchcock compared to Bob.
Joe, you too are very good. You showed me that one movie with Justin Timberlake about the drugs and
Alpha Dog.
Alpha Dog.
That's a good movie.
If anyone's ever seen Alpha Dog, that is
based on a true story, which is nuts.
You should watch that. If you're talking sports movies, you should watch that the Air movie also.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Oh yeah, Ticket didn't like
it. Ticket didn't like it.
Yeah. That's fair.
Michael Jordan should have had. It was so distracting that he had no lines.
It was bizarre. That was bizarre, but I still think it was well done. I think
if you think Michael Jordan sat in those meetings and let his mommy talk for him all the time,
he was afraid. He was afraid of his mom, though, bro.
Yeah,
sure, he definitely was. But he didn't have.
And by the way, his mom was instrumental in getting him all the percentage of shoes deal.
Yeah.
Like he wouldn't have got that without her.
Oh, I'm not saying any of that, but I'm not saying he's walking into Converse, Puma, and Adidas, and then Nike, and not saying a goddamn word.
Do you not think that they ran it by Michael before they made the movie and he approved it?
I'm sure he did. I'm just saying, or I don't even know if he did. I don't know if he gave a shit.
He had to approve it. Obviously, he didn't want somebody to play him.
Yeah, but what was there to approve? He wasn't in it. There was nothing to approve.
I think he didn't want somebody to play him, which but when you get to GOAT status like that, that's pretty impressive.
That's a nice, convenient argument for Ben Affleck if you just made a bad decision. Yeah, Michael didn't want anybody. That's why. All right, boys. What are you watching? We'll try another new segment next week. I like that one. As long as we keep watching shit, which I know you boys typically do. It's not a segment with Bob, you know. He's not watching anything but cringe YouTube.
Nice.
All right, boys, let's move on to viewer questions. The first one's coming from Easton Atwood. Based on the conversation from the last podcast, who are the biggest killers in the NFL?
Wow.
The biggest what?
Killers.
Oh, killers.
I'm assuming defensive players, big hit guys.
TJ Watt.
I don't think necessarily they mean defense, do they?
Maybe offensive killer, like a Tyreek Hill. It's very vague. Who are the biggest
killers? Yeah, it's very vague. Tyreek Hill's is a killer, I suppose.
Quarterback, Mahomes. I'll go wide receiver. Jeez. Wide receiver, I would go Davante Adams. Guy's done it for years.
I don't know.
And then I would go defensive player. By the way, I would throw Kelsey in there too because the guy is just
a killer. He's a killer.
He's literally a killer. And then on defense, I would go with TJ Watt. The guy just makes play after play after play, and he's a game changer. I think those guys are. I mean, that's an easy pull, but. Mikey V, you didn't like the Davante Adams. Who would you take over him?
It's not that I didn't like Davante Adams. I just said if I had to pick the killer wide receiver right now in the league. It's got to be either Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, in my opinion. I just think they're the two biggest killers right now.
The reason why I said Davante Adams, because he's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I just today, if I had to pick
somebody, I would take Justin Jefferson over.
Quarterback is Mahomes. It's not even fucking remote.
I would say Josh Allen's up there, but he's got to, hopefully he's got to do something in the playoffs this year, because he's got to, hopefully he's going to be healthy and he's going to be able to put on a broad. The other guy I would give, you know who I'd give? Joe Burrow is a fucking killer.
Yeah, he's a killer. I think of Rodgers when I think of killers. Like, Rodgers has killed me so many times. I mean, I've just watched Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers is a stone cold killer. Like, maybe not in the playoffs as much, in the late playoffs, but regular season into the early playoffs, Rodgers is a stone cold a killer. I mean, this guy would just come back. It was almost automatic, this guy. And Brady was a killer, too. I mean, I know you don't want to hear that, but Tom Brady was a stone cold killer.
Randy Moss was a killer, too. Yeah. That guy was.
Now on defense, I'd say Micah Parsons. He's a killer.
Yes.
Pat Surtain in Denver is a killer. He's one of those guys who could flip the game on its head in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You know who's going to be a killer and friend of the pod, too?
Oh, who?
Aiden Hutchinson is going to. I know Mikey V don't like him because he's a Wolverine. This kid has some swag, man. Yeah. I love this kid. And he plays in our division. So I'm not being biased.
I love him.
I thought you were going to say Kenny Pickett. I thought you were going to Kenny Pickett.
No. I like Pickett a lot. I think Pickett's a nice guy.
I'm annoyed
him a killer yet.
I thought Joey D had a respect. We thought it was going to be a respect play. I'm going to go with – see, my initial thought with the wide receiver thing was Ja'Marr Chase. Once you said Jefferson, I probably would take him over that, but just honoring my gut choice, I'll stick with Ja'Marr Chase. And then on defense, I was going to say Mike Parsons. You got the Bosa kid in San Francisco. Nick Bosa
is a killer.
Is a killer, man. He's killer. Unbelievable. I like
Aaron Donald, do you think he's still got the juice? Yeah, I do. I still think he's probably better than 85% of D tackles in the league.
A lot of people are thinking that he's kind of checking out. I hope he's not.
By the way, we forgot our guy from the Cleveland Browns.
Miles Garrett is very good.
He's very
arguably good. The best defensive player in the NFL.
Yeah. You know who I think is kind of underrated, and it's a guy that just joined Mikey V's team, is DJ Moore. I like DJ Moore.
You love yourself some DJ Moore.
I love DJ Moore. I love those little gadget guys. I love Deebo Samuel,
Tick's
too.
Tick's going to be taking a lot of prize pick options on DJ Moore.
I love DJ Moore, man. I love me some DJ Moore. But you know what? I used to like Chase Claypool, too, and you saw how that worked out. Another bear. Oh, but
we need a full offseason with Claypool.
Yeah, you really do. All right, one more viewer question, then we'll get the hell out of here. Belle Dirk asked Cold Cuts, please read this. Or have someone else read it to you. Acknowledge a Baker's dozen is 13, please. Everyone knows why I'm asking.
How are we still? I don't understand how
I
still
are
asking. What are we talking about?
This is a thing that came from the Bob Does Sports thing where Bob and I could come to a decision. Bob thought a Baker's dozen was 6. And I said it was 12.
Wait.
Have you never seen this clip?
Bob thought a Baker's dozen was 6.
I am not making that up.
Everyone in the world knows a dozen is 12.
That's what I said. I said it's 12.
So what do you think? Baker's dozen, the baker was shorting you half the fucking order? That makes no
I don't
sense.
Know how he – Bob said 6, and I said, what, are you dumb? It's 12. And then I look like the real dummy because apparently there's an extra piece put in the dozen.
Yeah, that's a baker's dozen, Joe.
That being said, I
would say this, though. If someone were to say, what answer is much worse on a baker's dozen, 6 or 12, 6 is much worse.
But
you're going to, unfortunately, you gave Bob the out because you corrected him with the incorrect answer, that's correct. Which makes it look worse. But in reality, to me, the fact he said six on paper, six is one of the dumbest things. 12.
Six is like the question that you put the answer on the multiple choice that you look at. And you're like, that's just absurd. Like, who would actually answer that?
Never be. Right. Yeah, that's right.
The people process totally, of elimination. They totally disregarded Bob's stupidity and it's went like, what right for
were,
you.
This is if what they happened were like, with what Bob. What state is the largest state in terms of square footage? And they were like, Texas, California,
Alaska,
or
New Hampshire,
or Delaware, or Rhode Island.
Bob answered Rhode Island. And meanwhile, just flew under the radar. This is what this kid
does.
He skates by, man. I took all the slack. And you know what? I blew him up on the top five. And a lot of people took my back today, Joe, on that top five.
Did they really?
Where he said the bar scene. A lot of people said that was such bullshit. Take it. What did
and
you think about that?
It was 100% bullshit.
It was, right?
100%. And also, McSorley's is one of the great establishments this country has to offer, by the way.
I give Joe a pass on that because he's not from this area. He's not even from, he's from Canada. But Bob has no idea what McSorley's. You know how many DMs I had today about McSorley's? Now, I'm not going to send them because then Bob pretzels that into me talking about the DMs. I'm not going to do that. But I'm glad Ticket came to my defense here with the McSorley's.
Well, it's incredible. There's been a little olive branch that's been passed out this episode between Ticket and Bear Down.
There was never any animosity between me and Ticket.
No, there wasn't. Not on my end, for sure. I just wanted to make sure I was going to that game.
A couple of weeks ago, I thought I had to fan the flames.
I just couldn't.
You know what else? I still say that we spend so much time talking to each other day in and day out. Yeah, it's inevitable. It's like being with your wife. Inevitably, you're going to get an argument.
Ticket, I have a question for you on Sportsman right now.
Sure.
I want to know, you just went to, I mean, not so much Vancouver, but Whistler.
Sure.
Tell me what Whistler is like to you. How great was it?
Well, I'll say this in general. I've been to Seattle before, and it's disgusting. It's nice. It's on the water, but it's kind of dirty. It's filthy. It's like a lot of American cities. Vancouver is right over the other side, right on the other side. I landed in Vancouver, and this city looked like it was a city from the future. It was the way they integrated the nature into that city. It's right on this the water. It's beautiful. You take the most beautiful drive.
The greenest city in North America.
I believe it was incredible. So you take this beautiful drive out of the city, up through the mountains on this, what they call the Sea to Sky Highway. And you are just going past just boulders sticking out of the water and just, it's gorgeous. Then you get to Whistler and it's this just picturesque, beautiful little town. I'll say this, Joe, I give you your props for it, man. I didn't want to believe it. And you know what else too, Joe, that blew my mind? One guy, the front desk at the Four Seasons, said to me, he's like, yeah, on your way back through Vancouver, you got to try the Chinese food.
There you go.
That's what
if you don't think on our triptych we're not going to hit a Chinese spot up, you are sadly mistaken.
I got to apologize.
That's the one thing that I really, if I could pick one day to be up on the trip, it would be for the Chinese. So I could give an area expert opinion on it.
Mikey V does know good Chinese food. I will say that.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mikey V. It makes sense now that they explained it to me, is because it's the first stop in Canada off when you get off the flight. So years ago, when people were immigrating from Asia, their first stop off the flight in North America was in Vancouver and LA. And that's why there's such a huge influx of Asia. No one gives a shit. all right.
I was listening.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense when he explained it to me, but it really doesn't fucking matter. I'll just shut the fuck up.
Bottom line, Vancouver Whistler X.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It really was. And I look forward to that trip, Joe. It's going to be a lot of fun. As was this podcast, boys, another good one, another Sportsman episode. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe. Make sure you direct your questions to the Sportsman Instagram page, where Mr. Anderson will be filtering through them and bringing them to us, and we'll have them on the show. So make sure you go ahead and do that. Like, comment, subscribe on the Instagram and the YouTube. Another good one, boys. That's Mikey V up there. That's Joey D down there. I'm the Big Ticket. Till next week, folks.